You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
This one's for Pat. The ball is free. Denver's got a touchdown, Denver.
Here's your host of Locked On Broncos, NFL analyst Cody Rourke.
Back Broncos country for another episode of Locked On Broncos. I'm feeling much better today, thankfully, and so we're going to combine a little bit of Draft Wednesday over here at Locked On Broncos. Tonight's show is brought to you by Draft.com, where you can join daily contests and win cold hard cash. Now, on tonight's show, we have a lot of great things in store for you. To open up tonight's show, we're going to talk about Shane Ray's injury and obviously the designation that puts him on injured reserve and the rest of the Broncos injury report for the week. In our second segment of tonight's show, we're going to talk about the Broncos selections to the Pro Bowl, as well as talk about which Denver Broncos were snubbed from the selection process. Now, the Pro Bowl is a very controversial topic each and every year, but some key snubs, some key guys that weren't really selected or given consideration, even though I felt like they should have been. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. But obviously, in our final segment today, we're going to take a deep analysis into the coaches on the Broncos staff, and we're going to mark them as safe or gone for 2018. So obviously, a lot in store on Locked On Broncos here tonight. But before we get to all that, I would definitely like to take the time to tell you guys to check out Matt Williamson's Locked On NFL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Now, Matt covers the latest angles and takes from a professional perspective across the National Football League. So head on over to Locked On NFL and subscribe today to hear the latest and greatest from Matt Williamson. So let's jump right into this bad boy. Now, obviously, Shane Ray, this was kind of surprising. This was the surprising news for me, especially coming off the big win against the Indianapolis Colts. Now, the Broncos defeated the Colts last Thursday, 25-13. And then on Friday, Shane Ray had surgery once again on his wrist to remove the screws. Apparently, the screws were rubbing up against his bone. They were making his bones ache a lot more inside his wrist, so they decided that they were going to take the screws out early. Originally, this was planned to be done after the regular season was over for the Denver Broncos, but evidently, you know, there's really not a lot in store, you know, not a lot really to play for, really, besides wins. Play for wins. There's not a lot riding on the end of the season playoff. Hopes are gone. There's no aspirations of the postseason right now. So, you know, I think the Broncos did a very good job in shutting down Shane Ray very early, obviously putting him on injured reserve. Now, the bone, that's the interesting part. Obviously, he had that freak hand injury in training camp and had to undergo surgery, receive screws inside his hand. Well, apparently, you know, every week he was on the injury report with the wrist. And apparently, the screws were causing a lot of discomfort for him, a lot of pain. And ideally, he could play through it, but it depends on how much he can tolerate the pain, which, from what I've been hearing, has been pretty painful and pretty hard to deal with, especially in contact, especially in a forced position where Shane Ray has to keep the edge and strike the outside shoulder, keep his outside hand free for the contained part. He hasn't been able to really do a very good job of that, and really his productivity since coming back really has been limited by his hand injury. So the Broncos have shut him down on injured reserve. And I think ideally Shaquille Barrett, in my honest opinion, Shaquille Barrett has been the guy this season that, you know, I think has deserved the full workload anyway. Shaq Barrett has been playing very well. He's played very good football. Now, a lot of people are griping that, well, Shaquille Barrett isn't generating a lot of sacks. Well, Shaquille Barrett and Von Miller, in terms of stopping the run on the outside, have been phenomenal. I mean, I really can't, there's no stat out there that is going to be told or put on a piece of paper that's going to tell you just how good Shaquille Barrett and Von Miller have been against the outside run and keeping contained this year. Now, both have also been a very good presence as a pass rusher. Now, Shaquille Barrett this year, he's had 4 sacks, and 2 of those sacks were 2 strip sacks, one against Oakland, one against Kansas City. He's maintained the edge all season, so realistically, with Shane Ray going on injured reserve, the Broncos don't really lose a beat without Shane Ray. Now, the hope is for Shane Ray to get continually healthy throughout the offseason, and to be honest with you, this might be a bold hot take, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos may trade Shane Ray. He's got a lot of promise. They can get a lot for him in terms of improving areas of need. I think they're very happy with how Shaquille Barrett has played, the Denver Broncos. So we're going to have to see. That's definitely a storyline I'd be interested in seeing. Obviously, with Shane Ray's health history and obviously that being in question, It really goes to show, based on how Shaquille Barrett's been playing, Shaquille Barrett's due for a new contract. He's going to get offers from other teams. So at this point, the Broncos have a tough decision to make. That's going to be another episode for another day. But, you know, obviously with Shane Ray hitting the injured reserve designation, the Broncos signed cornerback Michael Hunter from the practice squad just to make room for the roster transaction. So Michael Hunter probably won't sniff a down for the Denver Broncos for the rest of the regular season. He could see some special teams play, but I think realistically the Broncos and their secondary are pretty set, pretty gung-ho. Now, I imagine, you know, once week 17 approaches, if some guys are banged up, I couldn't help but imagine the Broncos might rest a couple of guys, preserve them for next season. You know, obviously don't want to risk getting a guy injured in a final game, a key guy, let alone that. So that's definitely something we really have to kind of keep an eye on as the offseason approaches us here in just a couple weeks for the Denver Broncos. A lot of moves to be made. Jack Elway saying that his father is scheming, and if he knows anything about his dad scheming, is that he's going to be working very hard to keep things going and to improve the state of the Denver Broncos, which I heavily believe. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, obviously, when we dive into our coaches safe or not safe segment. That will be our final segment of tonight's show. But obviously, before we get into the next part where we talk about the Denver Broncos and obviously the ones who are selected to the Pro Bowl this year, I want to take the time to tell you guys about some potential sponsorship opportunities that you could potentially have with Locked On Broncos. Now, if you or your company are interested in reaching a target audience of men between the ages of 18 and 44, well, your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Now, let me tell you why. Locked On Broncos is listened to by 98% of men, and 88% of those men are between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want to promote your service or your product over here at Locked On Broncos that will reach men in the age bracket of 18 to 44 years of age, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are very reasonable. Email me at denverbroncoslockedon@gmail.com to find out more information. Once again, that is denverbroncoslockedon@gmail.com. So, don't forget that coming up in our final segment here tonight, we're going to give our final thoughts and analysis on what the Denver Broncos have in store for the coaches. Which coaches are safe, which coaches are not safe. That's definitely a well-debated topic. We'll get to that before the show is over. But obviously, dive into our second topic of the day, and that's the Denver Broncos Pro Bowl selections in this year's Pro Bowl. Now, they're kind of reverting it back to AFC versus NFC, which I liked that format a lot more. I liked it a lot more. Now, I didn't really spend a lot of time watching the Pro Bowl. I watched it last year because the Denver Broncos were out of the playoffs, and I wanted to see Chris Harris Jr. and Aqib Talib, T.J. Ward. I want to see those guys have fun, and Von Miller, and they did. And I liked the little skills challenge that they had leading up to the Pro Bowl game. They made it a little more interesting, and I thought that was just a little bit more of a way for the NFL to engage more audience, get more people to watch the Pro Bowl, because the Pro Bowl has been one of the least watched all-star game festivities in all the professional sports, and there's a lot of different things that are keeping the NFL from having a lot of viewers specifically with the Pro Bowl. It's just they had a product that wasn't really entertaining to the fans. It wasn't full speed. It was more of a simulated contact game, and it wasn't just real football. Now, if you want to tell me what excites me about the Pro Bowl, or what would excite me about the Pro Bowl, take a look back to when Sean Taylor was playing. Sean Taylor in the Pro Bowl lit up a quarterback who decided to run for the ball, and the quarterback almost had that kind of expression like, dude, this is the Pro Bowl. It's like it's two-hand touch or something. Sean Taylor didn't care. Sean Taylor brought the boom, so rest in peace to one of the greats at safety. Who knows what he could have turned into. He's a great, phenomenal player. Unfortunately, lost his life a little too soon. But that's what I miss about the Pro Bowl. I miss when the Pro Bowl was exciting and it was actually competitive. Lately, it's just been a glorified, you know, NBA All-Star game. Who can score the most points? Who can look the flashiest? Obviously, you know, don't hit the quarterback too hard. You know, it's just not fun to watch, and nobody wants to watch a Pro Bowl or All-Star type game that is based on the premises of just a simulated contact scrimmage. It's not fun to watch. So definitely, I'm hoping the Pro Bowl kind of changes and gets a little more entertaining. I'll tune into it just because, you guess what? We have several Denver Broncos that are going to be represented. And the first two guys and the main two selections that have been selected to be into the Pro Bowl is obviously Aqib Talib and Von Miller. Now, Aqib Talib, he's had an up and down season. You know, I think Aqib Talib's kind of had an off season. He's had some games where he's been, you know, beaten on coverage. You know, he hasn't given up a touchdown pass over his head for 2 years. He obviously had the 103-yard pick six against the Dallas Cowboys. And the Broncos secondary, Aqib Talib and Chris Harris Jr. haven't seen a lot of action. And now Aqib Talib, rightfully so, deserved to make the Pro Bowl. This is his second consecutive Pro Bowl in a row. Obviously, Aqib Talib's fifth overall Pro Bowl selection, second season in a row with the Denver Broncos making the Pro Bowl. That's great news. Now, Von Miller is the other guy. Now, this is his sixth overall selection to the Pro Bowl, six-time Pro Bowl player. He's recorded at least 10 sacks for the fourth consecutive season, and he's just been relentless against the run all year. He's quietly had one of his best seasons of his career, and it's really being lost amidst, you know, the losing season. The eight-game losing streak, the not making the playoffs. Von Miller said, you know, I feel like I had a prime year, and it's just a wasted season because, you know, the goal for all NFL players, the goal for Von Miller is to make it to the Super Bowl year in and year out to compete for a world championship. Von Miller single-handedly helped the Denver Broncos achieve victory in Super Bowl 50. He had one of the greatest off seasons ever. Super Bowl MVP, Dancing with the Stars. You get all these different, you know, endorsement deals, and you became a stable guy. You get a contract extension. Von Miller's earned every penny, by the way. I think Von Miller's had one of the best years of his career. Go back and watch the film. He's almost had a year, maybe not from a sack number standpoint, because he reached 18 sacks, I believe, back in 2012, and he was just on a tear. Von Miller has caused havoc all year. He's drawn double team and triple teams this year, more so in comparison to when he had 18 sacks in a season. He didn't really generate a lot of double team, triple teams. Now, teams game plan specifically offensively around stopping Von Miller. That's what they do. They'll run away from Von Miller's side. Well, luckily, they have a guy on the outside. His name's Shaquille Barrett. Now, it brings me to my next point. There's two guys, in my honest opinion, right now that I could think of at the top of my head, guys that have been legitimately snubbed from the Pro Bowl, and they're both defensive players. Chris Harris Jr. is a guy who was snubbed from the Pro Bowl, in my honest opinion. I think he will make it because from the Jacksonville Jaguars locking up a playoff spot, we can see A.J. Boye decided not to go to the Pro Bowl. So if anybody deserves to get a cornerback spot there, it's evidently Chris Harris Jr. Now, teams have not really thrown Chris Harris's way much at all this season. Now, when they have, he's made them pay. He snagged two interceptions while also being involved on seven pass defenses. He's defended seven different pass attempts his way. He's had a lot of efficiency at the cornerback position, him and Bradley Roby and Aqib Talib. Now, Chris Harris Jr. was completely snubbed from the Pro Bowl, and I think overall he deserves to be in. I think, you know, he could have a way to make it in. But, you know, I just think that, you know, this goes into the voting process. It's almost like the NFL Top 100. I almost think it's kind of a joke. You know, we used to look at, I know when I was a kid growing up, I looked at Pro Bowls, like seeing Champ Bailey, like 10-plus Pro Bowls, and you think, man, that just goes to show how good of a football player this guy really is. I don't really get the vibe that the Pro Bowl really means anything to anybody now. Last year, Trevor Siemian made the Pro Bowl. And I'm telling you what, look where Trevor Siemian's at now. So really, the value of Pro Bowls, in my opinion, I think it holds no merit. I think realistically now, being elected or being voted into these Pro Bowls has shown that there's a lot of respect for the player. Now, there's also a lot of disrespect for the guys that don't get in that have been playing very phenomenal, that are phenomenal players. I can tell you what, multiple NFL general managers, they think that Chris Harris Jr. is one of the best cornerbacks in the National Football League. Even Richard Sherman thinks that. So him not being in the Pro Bowl is kind of a snub. The other guy is obviously Shaquille Barrett, a guy we talked about a little earlier. 29 tackles on the year, 4 sacks, 2 strip sacks. His play off the edge has been very underrated in the National Football League this year, and he's been one of the league's best contained players. When Shaquille Barrett is not in the game and Shane Ray has been in there, the opposing team's offense has thrived, and obviously the Broncos' defense has faltered off a little bit. Teams will run at Shane Ray. Shane Ray still struggled for about 3 or 4 weeks, obviously being back in terms of being able to actually strike a shoulder or want to make a tackle. A lot of it was just one-handed stuff, and Shaquille Barrett was relentless. His strip sack against Alex Smith in Kansas City was phenomenal. His strip sack from Derek Carr against Oakland a couple weeks ago, that was phenomenal. That's just great effort, and he's deserved to definitely get another contract extension with the Denver Broncos. You know, he's going to get a lot of looks, a lot of offers from other defenses. A lot of teams around the National Football League in the offseason that want to acquire his services. Shaquille Barrett is very underrated, and I'm definitely excited to see if the Denver Broncos keep him around. I hope they keep him around. He's definitely earned it, and I think he's an underrated guy that I think should definitely get a Pro Bowl consideration. I really do, maybe as an alternate even. So I really do think that. I think that's going to be the important thing, you know, especially analyzing the Pro Bowl, and hopefully the Pro Bowl changes its format and becomes a lot more entertaining going on, obviously, as the road continues. But before we jump onto our safe or not safe segment regarding the Denver Broncos coaches, I want to tell you about what we have going on over here at the Locked On Podcast Network. Now, if you love Denver Nuggets basketball, then you will love Locked On Nuggets. Now, Adam Modis has you covered with all the latest news and analysis of the Denver Nuggets as they get ready to take on the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight on Altitude TV. Now, you can head on over shortly after the game to hear the latest episode of Locked On Nuggets, where Adam has you covered with deep three analysis and slam dunk topics. Obviously, just got done doing the pulse, the 10-game pulse of the team. That's the latest episode of Locked On Nuggets. Be sure to check that out. Subscribe to him as well over there at the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On Nuggets, Adam Mars, bringing it to you. So before we get jumped on to, obviously, our final segment of the day, I want to tell you guys about what we have going on over here with Draft Wednesday. Now, do you love fantasy sports? Do you love winning cold, hard cash in a fair and competitive game? Do you want to test your knowledge and love for the game against me in a contest? Well, Draft is a place for you to be. Now, on your Apple or Android stores, be sure to go and download the Draft app or head on over to draft.com and sign up to compete against myself and others in a live snake draft where you battle others head-to-head with one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receiver or tight end type of players over at draft.com. Now, the good news is when you sign up for Draft, be sure to enter promo code LONFL. When you use promo code LONFL, you will receive a free $3 voucher for a future draft contest. Now, it's not too late to join the 500,000 people that have already downloaded Draft this season, and it gets even better. Draft is so sure that you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Broncos listeners a money-back guarantee of up to $100. All you got to do is just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with promo code LONFL. So obviously, jumping into it, our safe or not safe segment. This is our final segment of tonight's show. Very interesting. We're going to analyze several key coaches that are either on the hot seat or they're not on the hot seat. They're either safe or not safe. We got to mark them, and we got to analyze why. And I'm looking forward to hearing your guys' feedback and interpretation over there on Twitter at Locked On Broncos and at Cody Rourke NFL. So let's take a look. And obviously, the first guy I want to look at is offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave. Now, in my honest opinion, I marked Bill Musgrave as safe. Now, the reason is because I think the Broncos need to evaluate these final two games in terms of deciding whether or not Bill Musgrave will remain. I firmly do believe that Bill Musgrave, if the Broncos win out these next two games, I think he'll be the offensive coordinator heading to 2018. I think he'll be the offensive coordinator for the Broncos next year regardless. But with options in play like Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Sam Darnold in 2018 potentially, I think the sky is the limit for the Denver Broncos on what they could become offensively with a quarterback who can get the ball to their weapons in Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. They got some contract decisions they got to make. Maybe Demaryius Thomas might have to restructure his contract, or Emmanuel Sanders might be the odd man out. I don't know, especially with the cap structure, especially if you want to get a guy like Kirk Cousins who could demand $25 million. That's going to be tough. But I think either way, Bill Musgrave, if he gets the right type of quarterback, I think the Denver Broncos offense can return to form and be a powerhouse. I really, truly do believe that. I think Bill Musgrave did a phenomenal job with Derek Carr in Oakland, and we saw just how bad Derek Carr's looked without Bill Musgrave. Last year, Derek Carr was a legitimate MVP candidate for the National Football League, and I think he had less weapons around him than he does now. I think he had less of a defense around him than he does now. I think Derek Carr's, you know, decline has been not having Bill Musgrave around. Bill Musgrave is a good guy, and he knows how to evaluate quarterbacks. Look at what happened with Mark Sanchez and Nick Foles when they were originally first in Philadelphia under Bill Musgrave. Just take a look at that for a little bit. The statistics were very good. They played very good football. They played well. So I think that's something that, you know, Broncos fans should really take into consideration with Bill Musgrave. I think next year he'll have more of a chance this offseason to shape and kind of format the offense to fit the strengths of whoever's at quarterback. The Broncos' biggest dilemma this year was not knowing who the quarterback was going to be and having three very different style quarterbacks who learn the game a little differently. Now, if you have one prime guy, you have one premier guy at quarterback that you have no question about, he's the guy at quarterback. The Denver Broncos, Bill Musgrave, can shape this offense to be successful around that quarterback, and that quarterback will have command of the huddle. Absolutely. The Denver Broncos haven't had that this year. Now, Brock Osweiler's done a very good job. Like I said, I think Brock Osweiler has been the most vocal and effective leader as a quarterback for the Broncos this year. I think he's the backup quarterback for the Broncos next year regardless. I really do. I think he's earned the right to compete for it. That's just my piping hot take. Word to my man Vic Lombardi, H.W. Peterson, James Merrillat over there at the Vic Lombardi Show, Altitude 950. Quick plug for them. Now, the next coach we need to talk about is defensive coordinator Joe Woods. I mark Joe Woods as safe. Now listen to me and listen to my reasons why. First-year defensive coordinator, you know, he's not Wade Phillips. He's not Wade Phillips. You know, and I think a lot of us had the expectation coming into the season that he would be just like Wade Phillips, but younger. We haven't quite seen that. Now, that's not an indictment on Joe Woods. I believe Joe Woods has quietly gotten better as the season has progressed for the Denver Broncos as a defensive coordinator. Despite them giving up 51 points to the Eagles, 42 points to the Patriots in back-to-back weeks, I think Woods' defense hasn't really had much room to work with due to the errors on the offensive side of the ball, special teams with Isaiah McKenzie fumbling the ball, a lot of points, obviously some turnovers on the offensive side of the ball that led to points. I can't put all that on Joe Woods and the Broncos defense. Now, Joe Woods and the Broncos defense have gotten a lot better over the course of the last 4 or 5 weeks. I think they've improved their gap discipline and a lot of other things. And so, for me, I think Joe Woods gets another season as the Broncos defensive coordinator, as I do think that Bill Musgrave will be the guy as the offensive coordinator next year. I think there's some special things in store for the Denver Broncos, obviously, going forward. And we're just going to have to see how it all plays out. Now, the main guy everyone's talking about, head coach Vance Joseph, I marked him as safe. Now, listen to me on this one. Now, while many avid Broncos fans have hoped Vance Joseph would be seeing the door following this disappointing season, it really appears as if he'll be around for 2018 at the least. Now, I only heard this because, according to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, Vance Joseph will stay in Denver for next season, but I honestly wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos parted ways with him midway through next year if the Denver Broncos record isn't a winning record, or if they continue to struggle or falter or lose multiple games in a row next season. We could see Vance Joseph be gone early. Now, that's just based on what I'm hearing right now. We could be totally shocked, and as soon as the end of the season is over, we could see Vance Joseph fired. Now, the reports say otherwise, but color me shocked. I've heard different things before. I was completely shocked when Pat Bowlen fired Mike Shanahan. I never expected that to happen, but the day came, and it was a learning part for the Denver Broncos. It definitely was a learning moment for the Broncos overall. So I think when we kind of go through and we look at all these things, I think that the Denver Broncos will be okay. I think that John Elway, if his son Jack is correct and he's scheming, Vance Joseph will get a chance. You know, obviously a first-year head coach. I can't stand listening to his press conferences. I absolutely dread it. But you got to give him at least some games into the 2018 regular season if they don't fire him at the end of this season. You got to at least give him a couple of games into the 2018 season. See who your situation is with at quarterback defensively, who you have, you know, weapons around you. See how that is. Now, if things don't change at that point, you part ways with them, you make Bill Musgrave or Studisville the interim head coach. I think that's something you have to do. And then you find a head coach a year from now. I don't know. This is all just speculation, but these are just if things go bad, go the way I potentially envision it, if Vance Joseph stays in the Broncos struggle, I wouldn't be surprised if he's gone by week 4 or before the bye week for the Denver Broncos next season. I definitely could see that as a potential angle. But so far, he's safe for now. And according to the NFL Network reports from Ian Rappaport, he's going to be in Denver next year. So unless anything drastic happens, I don't think we can be counting our horses right now on Vance Joseph hitting the door for the Denver Broncos. So our final guy, Brock Olivo, special teams coordinator. He's the only guy right now I really marked as not safe. Now, the reason I say that is I love Brock Olivo's passion. He's a guy from Mizzou. I go to the University of Missouri. He's a Mizzou guy. He's a nice guy. He's got a lot of passion. First year really as a special teams coordinator. But his passion for the relentless special teams unit, one in terms of coining a phrase of his that kills it, it's great on paper. But the product on the field hasn't been that great, and that's been the most disappointing part for a lot of Broncos fans is just seeing that the special teams unit that we had a lot of hope for, they've been very unproductive. The kick return game has been terrible. The punt return game has been terrible, minus putting Jordan Taylor back there. Jordan Taylor fields the punt and can actually get at least some positive yardage on a return rather than Isaiah McKenzie fumbling it and then the other team getting it or going backwards and for a safety and, you know, just all the craziness that we've been accustomed to, giving up a kick return for a touchdown. The special teams, you know, Brandon McManus being absolutely terrible, missing 8 field goals this year. It just continues with special teams, and unfortunately, that reflects on the special teams coordinator. So I just don't think the Broncos special teams really have been any ounce of consistent this year, and I think just because of that, Brock Olivo, I think, is a guy that may pack his bags and be gone. And unfortunately, you hate to see it, especially a guy who's so nice, a guy who's so passionate about football and about his guys. I just think that that's just the realm of which the NFL works. It, you know, unfortunately, it's the business side of it. And unfortunately, business wasn't booming this year for the Broncos special teams unit. Who knows? We'll see how these final two games go with the Denver Broncos against the Redskins and the Chiefs. Don't forget, we have the Locked On Broncos, Locked On Redskins crossover show coming up this Friday. Can't wait to talk about the big matchup, especially talking about the Broncos' potentially future quarterback, Kirk Cousins, over there with Locked On Redskins. I want to gauge what their thoughts are on that. But I would like to thank Draft.com for sponsoring tonight's show. We definitely want to thank you guys for continuing to provide our listeners with a platform to make money through fantasy sports. I'm excited. I want you guys to follow me on Twitter at CodyRorkNFL, at LockedOnBroncos. Be sure to go to iTunes, leave a 5-star review. Here in a little while, I'll come up with our next Broncos Locked On Broncos contest giveaway, where we can find a lot of new ways to send you avid Broncos fans who listen to the show daily something to reward you guys. You guys are awesome. To be honest with you, if I had a list of every single Denver Broncos fan that listens to Locked On Broncos here, if I had a legitimate list of everybody that listened, I would send you all something. I really, truly would. And maybe I can. Maybe I'll work on that. That's something that we'll definitely look on. But obviously, this is your host, Cody Rourke. If you'd like to be featured, you know, be a featured sponsor here on the show, email me with your inquiries at denverbroncoslockedon@gmail.com and subscribe to Locked On Broncos on iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Megaphone, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you tomorrow for our preview matchup of the game against the Redskins. And then Friday, we have our big, big crossover show. I love it. I'm excited for it. I can't wait to talk to the Redskins about this big matchup. Obviously, on Sunday, early game, Washington, D.C., Denver Broncos on the road, Eastern time, to kick off against the Washington Redskins on Sunday football. 2 weeks left in the NFL regular season. Very bittersweet. Don't know how to think about it. Don't know how to feel about it. I'm almost in that denial stage. I don't want it to end. So enjoy every moment, Broncos fans. But the show's going to go on. We're going to be here Monday through Friday every single week. And obviously, look forward to being more engaged with you guys in Fan Friday segments as the offseason approaches us. Be on the lookout for our Broncos contest giveaway. Once again, this is your host, Cody Rourke. Thank you guys for listening once again to Locked On Broncos.